Hear these words. Pay to all what is due them. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Revenue to whom revenue is due. Respect to whom respect is due. Honor to whom honor is due. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, and how it is now the moment for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. Amen. Please pray with me. Holy Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be receptive to thee. O God, our strength and our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. So let me say this. As long as we each respond in the most faithful way that we can, I believe that there is more than enough spirit and more than enough resource in this congregation for us to tend the promise. As long as we remember God's call, as long as we dream God's future, and as long as we take our place in God's work to make that future. As long as we remember God's call. You heard it read by Karen Moore this morning from the book of Jeremiah, that great prophet of Israel's exile in Babylon. Jeremiah believed that God knew and loved his people from the beginning to the end. They had lost their homeland by forces bigger than they, and they didn't know when they would be free again. But the Spirit moved in Jeremiah to remember God's promise. He knew it, and so he said it. God made a promise and will fulfill it, he said. God has plans that will still come true, even against odds that look pretty iffy. God's plans are plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future and a hope, a future in which God won't seem to hide anymore, but will be found and will fill your hearts. Now, we're not exactly in exile here at Pinnacle, and I don't believe that God is exactly hiding from us. But with the debt left to us as we entered the recent recession, we've certainly felt at times like we're on the side of a wall, unable to look over very well, pulling and tugging and working pretty hard to remember what we actually know, that God has plans for us and wants us. God has plans for us as a congregation and wants us. God has plans for each one of you in your own lives and families and relationships and wants you. I hope you remember that as we dedicate the new play area later this morning. I hope you remember that as you walk the new labyrinth that was given to us as a gift from the youth of the church in the memorial garden, as you walk it and pray as you do. I hope you remember that as you consider the words you heard from our presenters this morning. I hope you remember that as we share communion in a few moments. Only a handful of us here today are charter members of the church. and only a few of us had a child among the teens who led worship last Sunday. But we can all remember, each one of us, what the charter members of this congregation and each of those youth know in their hearts, that God's promises come to us out of the past, but they do not leave us in the past. God turns our heads and lets us dream God's future. So we must. We must dream God's future. And here we have those perfect words that you heard from the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome. Let no debt remain outstanding except the debt to love one another. Or how about how Eugene Peterson translates this? Don't run up debts except for the huge debt of love you owe each other. When you love others, you complete what the law has been after all along. So friends, I think Paul is saying this. Take care of business. Pay people what you owe them if you can. Be responsible. Participate in society. But don't let your material commitments get in the way of your spiritual calling. That is the debt of love. Owe no one any debt except the debt of love. We will never really be out of debt as a congregation. So it's actually not quite right that we say we want to retire our debt. It would be better to say that we want to exchange our debt. We want to exchange our interest-bearing debt to a lender with our mission-bearing debt to God. Our debt of love is to God. We pay it as we shape worship and music and education and mission and our fellowship in ways that help all who come to love and enjoy our God. And our debt of love is to each other and to all others who will live this life of faith with us. We are bound to each other in love. And our debt of love is also to the world. We do what we do here for many reasons, because we're a big and varied group. But the best reason we have for doing what we do is to cooperate with God as God fulfills the promise made to all creation in Christ Jesus. And that is a promise to meet, to forgive, to heal, and to let life triumph over death, and to let genuine, active love destroy fear. We're here to return the favor to God and to owe the world nothing except the enormous and happy debt of love. So we take our place in this, each in our own way. I've told this story a few times in the last few days, but I want to tell it again. I also told it in a stewardship sermon about 3 years ago, and I'm going to guess that none of you remember that. It's a personal story, and it's a pretty simple story. It's about a little Episcopal church just north of Detroit, where my family worshiped during my elementary and junior high school years. It was a humble congregation with a pretty enough little sanctuary that might have been about as old at that time as our sanctuary is today. Folks sat on secondhand pews that had been donated by some church in the city. I must have been only around 7 or 8. It was the 1960s. But I can still see those old pews with worn velvet pads creaking during sermons and sometimes breaking, glued together, and if you thought about it, probably not very safe to sit on. So the church decided it was time to buy new pews, to complete the sanctuary and make it theirs, and to turn their faces ahead. So they mounted a campaign. $200, $200 for a pew, or maybe less than that. Hardly extravagant, but not trivial for a working-class church that had just built a building and was still trying to grow its ministry. And it wasn't a trivial amount for my parents, either. Why this comes back to me, I really don't know, but I remember wandering into our kitchen one night and seeing my parents sitting at our kitchen table, which was itself secondhand and creaky. They had their checkbook open and a campaign letter from the church on the table. They were talking about whether or not they could afford to buy a pew. I asked what they were doing, and they told me. And then one of them said, "You know, I actually think we can do this." And the other one smiled, and they agreed, and they wrote a check. They seemed happy, even excited, and that puzzled me. Before they stretched to replace their own creaky table, they stretched to replace a pew in their church. And they did that because the church was part of their house too, even as it belonged to God. You furnish your own home, so you furnish the church too. And you become a part of the church's mission to furnish God's world. As I look back on that moment, I think that my parents' involvement in that little congregation grew dramatically after they made that commitment. For they were claiming their part in the work, their role, and their privilege. For some, it's a $200 pew, or the labor to install it, or the love and prayer to welcome it. For some, it's $2,000. For some, it's $20,000, or $200,000. Maybe for a few, it's more than that. We value each commitment and need it. For if you commit to remember and to dream and to exchange the debt of a mortgage for the debt of love, then you're turning your head to the future and taking a role in the mission. There are many ways to make a difference in God's ministry. Today, I'm asking you to prayerfully consider this one and to even get a little excited about it. For by remembering God's promise and dreaming God's future and claiming God's place for us in that future, we will have enough. So to visitors, let me say this. You are welcome here, and we are glad that you're here. And so I hope that even if this feels a little bit like insider talk today, you will see the Spirit at work in how we're doing this. And I hope you will feel encouraged in your own life, remembering, dreaming, and taking your own role in God's mission. And maybe you'll consider coming along as we try to do all that here, in this and in so many ways. And so everybody, let's tend the promise together. Amen.